You're listening to Sports Topics with Coach Harvey Hyde right here on 107.1 FM, 1400 AM KSHP. Brought to you each week by Coors. Follow the coach on X at Coach Harvey Hyde. Now, huddle up and buckle up. Here's Coach Harvey Hyde.
Well, thank you very much, and good evening, everyone. It is that time of day when you huddle up and buckle up and ride along with us every Tuesday and Wednesday with our Coors Sports Topic Show. We've got a show tonight, I think, that will be interesting. We're going to feature, of course, our racing segment with Chuck Hayes, and then we're going to have a following segment with Chuck Hayes talking about college football. As we always say, football never goes away, especially now with college football and all the changes that are happening. Then, of course, joining us here will be our Las Vegas Aviator segment. That's with Jimmy Jammer out at the Las Vegas ballpark. And then, of course, we'll have Chuck Hayes back with us as we wrap up tonight's show, because our UNLV baseball segment, normally we have Coach Dan Salty on, but they're on the road at UC Riverside. So, Chuck, I want to welcome you. Before we get to you, I want to thank our racing sponsor segment, and that's Terrible Herps. They've been serving the Las Vegas area for over 65 years. Everyone knows Terrible's is the place to go for a quick snack, a hot cup of coffee, or a cold drink. Terrible's is the perfect place for a fill-up. And with over 100 locations in the Las Vegas Valley, there's always a Terrible's near you. Chuck Hayes, good evening. It's been a very interesting racing weekend.
Coach, it has, and let's start with Xfinity there in Dover, Delaware at the Monster Mile. Miles, the monster, overlooking that 1 mile concrete track, and it was Ryan Truex, Martin Truex's little brother, driving for Toyota. He was the winner. Carson Quapel was second in a Chevy. Sam Mayer was third. Sheldon Creed was fourth, and Cole Custer fifth. The veteran A.J. Allmendinger was sixth. Chandler Smith was seventh. Kyle Weatherman, eighth. Anthony Alfredo, ninth. And Parker Retzlaff, 10. Now, you didn't hear Riley Herbst's name because Riley Herbst had a great qualifying effort. Was really up there competing and battling. And it came down to the last few laps. And unfortunately for Riley, he broke loose and spun out and ended up in the number 16 position for the Monster Energy Ford. Now, let's look at the standings now in regards to them having 10 starts. Chandler Smith is first. Cole Custer is second. Austin Hill is third. Jesse Love is fourth. Justin Allgaier is fifth. And Riley Herbst is sixth. So, despite the tough couple of weeks that he has had, he's still hanging in there from a point standpoint. 394 is the lead, 303 is the secondary spot, and he will be going to Kansas on the mile and a half at Kansas. So let's go on the Cup side, and it was a big win for Denny Hamlin. He led the final 72 laps Sunday, and got his third Cup win of the season. Kyle Larson finished sixth, followed by Martin Truex Jr. Las Vegas' Kyle Busch was fourth. Chase Elliott, who won the week before, was fifth. And Noah Gragson, Coach, with a great run, finished sixth. So that was a big one for Noah. He's really breaking out and competing on the Cup level and running in the top 10 and really having a chance to be in the battle is a tremendous accomplishment for him. So let's go to Formula One, Coach, because they're coming to America. They're leaving. They left China. They had a week off, and now they're finding their way to Miami and that interesting course that's set up near Hard Rock Stadium, a place that you know quite well. So America will be focused in talking about F1, and, of course, the race in America three times during the year, May in Miami, in October in Austin, Texas, and then, of course, in Las Vegas in November. So a tremendous amount of racing on the horizon. And again, it's great to be able to watch and follow the progress of these drivers and the different series that are in. Of course, Coach, the month of May means Indianapolis, so everyone will be focused on Kyle Larson doing the double-double. And in fact, they announced today, and this is interesting about how drivers do this, that Kevin Harvick will be driving his car at Charlotte, the number 5 Hendrick Motorsports car, while Kyle is in Indianapolis qualifying there. And so Kevin Harvick comes out of the TV booth, goes in and works for Hendrick to drive that Chevrolet in the All-Star race and then qualify it for the 600.
You know, Chuck, going back, and I want to just touch on a few things you mentioned, and I wanted to mention Riley Herbst. You know, 2 weeks ago we talked about how well Riley drove, and he had a little luck. There was some spin outs, and he got through it. Now, this past week, you running up there really well, second and third, and they have a little spin out, or he breaks loose, and all of a sudden, you got to have a combination, I think, in anything of being good and being lucky, and this past week, he just wasn't lucky.
Well, that's, you know, Coach, how many times you coach a football game where you got away with one, and then the next scenario, the worm turned the other way. It happens in sports, and it could be something as simple as you not making it through a churn, and there's a spin out behind you, and you get it up in the, you know, up into the top three positions, or you could be in the lead, and the whole field spins behind you, and then in front of you, and you get taken out. It's just, you never know how it's going to go. In certain tracks, you know, they'll say that's racing. That's just the way it is. And we see less of that in Formula One. I think the thing this year in Formula One that was in Australia was that in the first five laps of the race, you had Max Verstappen, who had been dominating for the last 2.5 years, have a mechanical issue, and the car just, like, shut it down before it blew up, and then Lewis Hamilton having the same issue in his Mercedes, and you just never ever see that on that level. They don't prepare the cars any different. It's the same human people with the computers checking things out, and then all of a sudden something happens, and you don't want to ever say never, but you know, when you see it at the highest level, it gives you pause.
Another thing I want to talk to you about, you mentioned IndyCar, and of course it's going to be a big month, the month of May for Indy. What's the setup? Explain it to everybody. What actually happened where they're talking, I don't know if it's supposed to be called a cheating scandal, its image of Penske, but what is this all about? What happened actually, and explain it to all of us.
Well, Coach, from that standpoint, there's tech and there's inspection, and you know, in regards to how it goes, there was something with those cars that they didn't like. And somebody went back and filed an appeal or how it was. And, you know, it'll be a continuing storyline because there's a process. And if they go and determine that what happened was within the rule book or where it stood, then maybe it'll be rescinded. But I think what will happen is it'll draw a lot of attention to the process at Indy. And again, they put their hands on these cars so many times to inspect them before they go out on the track. And then they come back in and there's some issue before they qualify. They go through tech again. And there's very specific rules way above an engineering standpoint that I can reference. But again, when you're one of the leaders in the industry, and you get a slap on the hand, it's something that's very, very tough as an organization, especially when you're a promoter like Roger Penske is at Indy. You're a car owner not only in Indy but in NASCAR, and those are tough pills to swallow on a Monday morning when the media are calling and saying, "Are you guys cheaters?" Now,
let me ask you this, Chuck. How come it takes so long? Yes.
Well, procedurally, if there was an issue and someone went back and looked at it, you have to file an appeal, or there's a process that goes through, much like a legal case. They just don't take it away from you. In fact, one of the things at NASCAR is they take the cars to the R&D center randomly, and when they take them in there and they break them down, they do not remove the victory in NASCAR or the purse. They'll just fine the owner or the crew chief and maybe suspend him for multiple races. I don't have the exact dollar amount in front of me what Penske was fined or if their crew chief was suspended for a certain amount of time. But those are normally the process that go on. But there's always an appeal process to be reviewed.
I think they penalized the entire team. The car was disqualified. They lost their points. The whole package, they move everybody up. So it was really a stiff penalty.
Well, obviously, it's something that they don't want anyone else doing. And when the king is fined like that, and Richard Petty used to have a saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And it used to be certain things that you can get away with from inspection. Now, because of the technology, the lasers, it's just amazing to watch the scrutiny that goes on. So if you think you're trying to get an edge and you think you can pull it off and you see the amount of horsepower change or your speed go, people will say there's something wrong there. They're doing something different. I remember when Michael Waltrip was racing for Toyota, his first race at the Daytona 500 to qualify, they put jet fuel in the car, Coach. Imagine Toyota's first entry into the Daytona 500, and they get penalized and have an issue because they had found jet fuel in the system. How do you explain that one? How do you explain that one?
You're listening to our Coors Sports Topic Show. I'm Harvey Hyde with Chuck Hayes, brought to you by Terribles. Chuck, let me ask you this. Why would someone want to? I know it's ego and publicity, but why would someone? You can't be as sharp. You've got to be fatigued in a way. Why would somebody drive Indy and then go down to Charlotte and drive another, 600 miles?
Coach, let me ask you, are you a mountain climber? Have you ever climbed a mountain that's unscalable? People do it all the time at Mount Everest, right? Well, you know what Kyle Larson believes? He believes he can win both races. In his heart of hearts, he is that strong a competitor, and he wants to do something that people haven't done. Plus, he's going to get paid a lot of money to do it, and there's going to be a lot of co-promotion in regards to that. In regards to this race. So it's great for both sports. It's great for the automotive industry, and it gives it a storyline that they haven't had for a few years. Tony Stewart was the guy that did it. Kurt Busch did it. They used to tease Danica all the time and ask her when she was going to do it, but she never stepped up and did it once she was in NASCAR. But it's a storyline, and I think it's a good thing. And it's something that if you're a competitive person and you believe you're a great race car driver, you want to do something that no one else has done.
Now, who would accompany him? Would it be the same team, the team owner? Is it a different owner, his agent? Who would make this trip with him and be a part of it?
Well, I'm sure he'll have his personal trainer. I'm sure he'll have his agent, and I think what will happen is, depending on the sponsor and who he's driving for, they'll have the Indy PR team there waiting for him. Because remember, when these guys go to Indy, they live in Indy for the month. So he's back and forth from doing the NASCAR races in Kansas and then Darlington and then Charlotte. He'll be going back and forth to Indy, and they'll have the jet ready for him and the helicopter, and he'll have the opportunity to take care of something that a lot of people can only dream about.
Well, Chuck, it's going to be interesting, and I agree with you. It is I know I'm going to watch it because of that. I'm going to watch the Indy. I do that every Memorial Day. I haven't missed one, I don't know how many years. And then again, you want to watch the Charlotte race just to see how he does as far as after running at Indy, and you hope he finishes, and that way down there, he'll be there for the beginning of the race. What happens, Chuck? I'm going to get this one question in. What happens if the Indy race is delayed or it's slow and a lot of cautions? Dollar race started. What would they do without him?
He'll have Kevin Harvick probably in the backup car or another Hendrick driver that'll be ready to go. They'll have that contingency. Coach, I got to mention, Memorial Day for you is going to be a long day because you know what else you're going to be doing? You're going to get up and watch Formula One from Monaco early in the morning to go along with that. So you're going to have Monaco for breakfast, Indy for brunch, and then Charlotte for dinner. How's that?
I'll tell you what, that'll be a busy day for me and my family because they all have got into racing now, Chuck. Especially my children love Formula One. So let's buckle up. Again, Chuck Hayes has joined us with our weekly racing segment. Again, we want to thank Terrible Hoops for the sponsorship of this weekly segment. Remember, Terrible says, as you know, and if you don't know, they've been serving the Las Vegas Valley for over 65 years. Everyone knows Terrible's is the place to go for a quick snack, a hot cup of coffee or a cold drink. Terrible's is the perfect place for a fill-up, and with over 100 locations in the Las Vegas Valley, there's always a Terrible's near you. So you're listening to our Coors Sports Topic Show. Chuck is going to stay with us because we had a great experience this past weekend in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. We're going to talk about that. So buckle up. I'm Harvey Hyde with Chuck Hayes. We'll be right back from Las Vegas.
You work hard for your business. You need a bank that understands your business. Let Metals Bank be your business partner for all your banking needs. We are a full-service community bank with competitive loan and deposit products and services. We're also a preferred lender for SBA, 7A, and 504 loan programs. The experienced team at Metals Bank will give you the services you need with the reliability you can depend on throughout branches in Las Vegas, Henderson, Reno, Pahrump, and now in Phoenix, Arizona. Call our friendly, knowledgeable staff today at 702-471-BANK. That is 702-471-2265. Or use our convenient online banking service at metalsbank.bank. Metals Bank, where your business is our business.
Monterey Lighting Solutions. Call Big Ed and Fast Eddie for a free, that's right, free evaluation of your building to see if you are really winning with your power saving. Have Monterey Solution in your huddle. You'll be saving money. That's making money. Call 626-298-5444 or 702-376-8685. Remember those two plays, 626-298-5444 or 702-376-8685.
Have you ever been to the Klondike Casino? Well, you better try it. It's the sports headquarters there in Henderson. It's located at 444 Sunset Road in Henderson. You can watch all the Rebel football games, Rebel basketball games, all the events. That'll be Rebel Athletics, but also your favorite team when they play. How about the Klondike Grill? Man, bring your friends there. Fresh food. Served up quickly so you don't miss a play. That's the Klondike Casino located at 444 West Sunset Road in Henderson, Nevada. And don't forget, the Players Club will take care of you too. Game day is every day at the Klondike Casino.
Are you looking to advertise a campaign, short film, a public service announcement, an important message? Look no further than Regency Outdoor. We have been around since 1974 and have the greatest locations in Southern California for your advertising goals. Our creative billboards are sure to catch everyone's attention. Make an impact anywhere and everywhere in Southern California. To get started and for more information, call 310-657-8883 or visit RegencyOutdoor.com. Regency makes it easier than ever to get your message everywhere in Southern California.
Pizza, pizza, pizza. If you're like me, pizza is not just a food, it's a way of life. And the folks at Settabello Pizza get every detail just right. Homemade dough made daily and hand-tossed. Extra virgin olive oil, freshly chopped tomatoes and basil, and generous portions of mozzarella cheese with a dizzying array of toppings. Join me at one of their two area locations, one at Green Valley Parkway, another one at Fort Apache and Sahara. No time to dine out? No problem. Order today and take it to go at Settabello.net. That's Settabello.net. Settabello Pizza, when only the best will do.
My name is Casey Flair, president of the UNLV Football Foundation. Everyone that is a part of our foundation helps us with the university and the success of our football program. In order to be a part of the Football Foundation, you do not need to be a former player, just a diehard Rebel fan. You can contact our webpage and see what we're all about, UNLVFootballFoundation.com. We are proud of our football program, Coach Barry Odom, and the university. We do everything we can to support UNLV football. If you'd like to learn more, please visit UNLVFootballFoundation.com, and I will personally get back to you. Thank you, and go Rebels.
Terry! Terribles is celebrating 65 years in Southern Nevada with 65K in 65 days! Make a qualifying purchase in-store or fuel up at the pump, scan your Terribles app, and spin for your chance to win free products. Or be lucky enough to land on
$1,000!
Every day for 65 days! So, download the free Terribles Social House app and play today. Spin more, win more. Terribles, deliberately different since 1959.
Well, welcome back to Las Vegas. I'm Harvey Hyde with Chuck Hayes. It's our time for our coolest sports topic show every Tuesday and Wednesday night. And again, we ask you to listen up. We're going to talk football, because why? Football never goes away. It's always on the paper somewhere with the drafting or rule changes or the portal or the NIL and all of the different things that happen. Spring practices have now been completed at most universities around the country. Chuck and I were in the Rose Bowl this past weekend. We want to talk to you about that. And we want to thank our sponsor for this segment, which is Meadows Bank. They say, is your business ready to play in the big leagues? Meadows Bank can help you tackle the competition. Make your play and visit them today at meadowsbank.com or call 471-BANK. That's 471-BANK. Meadows Bank, consistently exceeding your expectations. Well, Chuck, we were in Allegiant Stadium 3 weeks ago for the UNLV spring game. We were in the Coliseum 2 weeks ago for the USC spring game. And then this last Saturday, we were on the field, and we were in the press box for the UCLA spring game. Three really beautiful college football stadiums.
Coach, it's always great to be able to get out and you know, when the season goes by so quick, we talk about, you know, it's a one-hour football game and how hard you work. Well, this gives everyone a chance. And think about it. Super Bowl was at Allegiant. The Coliseum is just what it is. And the Rose Bowl game, Coach, think about the last football game that was played in the Rose Bowl. Jim Harbaugh versus Nick Saban. And when we were up walking on the concourse up to the press area, there was still a nameplate for the University of Alabama for their athletic department next to the press box on what was a very, very interesting day and night in Pasadena, which really was the beginning of the end of the probably one of the greatest coaches in the history of college football. That was the last place that he took the field at, was the Rose Bowl.
At the Rose Bowl, the national championship team was playing him. But Jim Harbaugh, as they went on and won the national championship. And Chuck, the audience on that nationally, as far as television, outdid that of the national championship game that was viewed the following Monday. So again, the Rose Bowl has great history, and we were a part of it on Saturday to sort of take a look at Deshaun Foster, the new head football coach at UCLA, and on his new team, his new philosophy, his new energy level, and all of the above. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a long, long way from Chip Kellyville, wouldn't you say, in regards to the enthusiasm and the energy that Deshaun is putting out, just what he does, how he presents himself. He's new to this. He's first time as a head football coach, had never, ever been a coordinator. And had a short stint as the running back coach of the Raiders before UCLA called and said, come back home. Deshaun was a great player out of Tustin High School in Southern California. Went to the Carolina Panthers and I believe played with Cam Newton or Jake DeLome. I'm not sure who the quarterback was when the Panthers went to the Super Bowl. So he's had big game experience. He loves being a Bruin. His responsibilities on offense have really been taken away because they hired Eric Bieniemy. So he's more of the front person in regards to this organization. And from, you know, I look at it this way, Coach, you're undefeated, you're untied, you're unscored upon. You can be the toast of the town. You can really go out there. And then the other thing that was very obvious to me, very prominent, I kept hearing this clang, clang, clang when we were in there, first down on the field, looking at that beautiful turf on the east sideline, Coach. Wasn't that unbelievable, watching the offensive linemen work warm up? But I kept hearing this clang and clang and clang and clang again. I said, Coach, you know what that is? I said, that's the victory bell. That's what you get to do for a full year if you're UCLA when you beat the Trojans and you bring that home to UCLA and then bring it to wherever you at or you are at and clang that. And I know you had that experience with the Fremont Cannon, but this is just part of what college football tradition and excitement is. And I would like to think that we want to preserve that with all the talk of NIL and the other things. These are, you know, with these two teams going into the Big Ten has the best trophies of the Paul Bunyan axe, Floyd of Rosedale, the pig, you know, all the old oaken bucket, all those awards that you play for. The Big Ten has been that tradition.
Well, one thing they've done at UCLA, they've done everything that Chip Kelly didn't do. They brought in a Bruin. They brought in a guy with a lot of pride, a guy that remembers what Bruin football is all about, the tradition of the great coaches that coach there, the way you wear the uniform, the way you're out in the public, the way you tailgate in the Arroyo Seco, the way you go out and speak at clubs. It started to show at the attendance level of the spring game. They had somewhere around 13,000 plus, and that's been the biggest spring game they've had for a long time. It was over the past several years. Chip Kelly wouldn't even come to the Rose Bowl and have the spring game. He would have it on campus. So there's a lot more interest, and I think the number one thing Martin Jarman wanted to do, the athletic director, is change the image of UCLA football. They're going into the Big Ten. They wanted to go back to how people remembered UCLA football. They wanted somebody who played UCLA football, and they certainly have done that. He is going to be the head football coach. He is going to coach the defense. He isn't going to coach the offense. He's going to be the front of the program. He's going to be out with the community, out of alumni events. He's going to be there, and for a first-time head coach, I would say probably that'd be the best thing for him to do because of the overall responsibility of being a head football coach. If you haven't been a head football coach, you don't know exactly all the stress and all the things you have to attend to. So I'm sure that he has to do this and learn some of these ideas, and he will never understand until he does it how many things and distractions there really are to being a head football coach. But as far as watching them warm up, Chuck, I think both you and I agreed that they had style. They were intent. They were disciplined. I liked the way the players were dressed, all of the same, with the white socks, the white shoes. There wasn't any individual look. All the coaches were dressed in their coaching gear as far as all the assistants were dressed in black. The head coach, Deshaun Foster, was dressed with a blue shirt and a black hat. So you could distinguish on who the head football coach is on the field. I thought it was a great experience. We went upstairs and, again, watched the scrimmage and tried to see exactly what we could see. And, again, I think all of us were a little bit disappointed because it wasn't really what you call a scrimmage. We had seen that the week before at the Coliseum. It was almost like a thud, or a little bit more than thud. They never moved the ball. It was always from the same spot except for once. So you didn't really get a feel of a game. No kicking game whatsoever, no goal line whatsoever, not much being showed. I was surprised as far as how much the quarterback went under center. I think the discipline was there, the talent. I think there's not much depth, and maybe that's why they didn't hit. But I'm an old type of coach that says the only way you learn how to coach and the only way you learn how to play is you do it, and that's playing coach football. And being a first-year staff, I think it's always important to practice before the first game. The communications from the press box to the field, getting the plays in on time. I don't think they used the clock whatsoever. They took their time between plays. And if you don't do that, you're going to get caught during the season as far as not getting your plays off on time. I love, again, the communication to the helmet as far as from the coordinator or whoever's calling the plays. And I think that's going to be great for college football. So, Chuck, I enjoyed it. I think everybody enjoyed it. I think everybody was disappointed again as far as not having a really hitting type of spring practice like UNLV had. And if you're watching a basket practice this last weekend, all out, full speed, full game, officials, anywhere on the field, kicking game, the whole thing to get ready for a football game in the fall. So UCLA opens at Hawaii. Member of the Mountain West Conference. I would not overlook them. If I was UCLA in the opening game, because Hawaii loved the opportunity of playing UCLA there in a very different type of stadium, Chuck, a small stadium on campus, not the Rose Bowl, and it'll sort of get you wondering what's going on here when you arrive at the stadium. So again, Chuck, I want to thank you for joining us. I want to ask you to come back and join me at about 6:45 p.m. because there's a lot of football. We want to talk about what's been going on, the portal, the NIL, all these other different things, recruiting. And I know a lot of our listeners love the game of football as we do. So, Chuck, again, thank you for joining us. And I want to thank our sponsor for this segment, which is Meadows Bank. And Meadows Bank says, as they always do, if your business is ready to play in the big leagues, Meadows Bank can help you tackle the competition. Make your play and visit them today at MeadowsBank.com or call 471-BANK. That's 471-BANK, Meadows Bank. Consistently exceeding your expectations. You're listening to our Coors Sports Topic. Joe, I'm Harvey Hyde. Buckle up. We'll be right back with our UNLV softball report.
Big Dogs Brewing Company is proud to be Las Vegas' original hometown brewery since 1993. Our handcrafted beers are brewed fresh daily by our team of award-winning brewers. Big Dogs brews are now available in cans at major retailers like Discount Liquor, Total Wine & More, Whole Foods Market, Smith's, Albertsons, Terrible's, Stations, and more. Big Dogs beers are available on draft at select restaurants and bars around Las Vegas. Ask for us by name. Visit us at Big Dogs. BigDogsBrews.com to track down our award-winning handcrafted brews. Or stop by Big Dogs Draft House in Rancho and Craig to sample a full range of our classic, seasonal, and specialty ales. Drink fresh. Drink local. Drink Big Dogs.
Have you heard about Standish Law? Yes, Standish Law, Las Vegas' premier family law firm. Ranked among the top 10 in client satisfaction by the American Institute of Family Lawyers and proud to be Rebel sponsors. If you are going through a divorce, you want them on your side. Schedule your appointment at StandishLaw.com. That's StandishLaw.com or call 702-998-9344.
You work hard for your business. You need a bank that understands your business. Let Meadows Bank be your business partner for all your banking needs. We are a full-service community bank with competitive loan and deposit products and services. We're also a preferred lender for SBA, 7A, and 504 loan programs. The experienced team at Meadows Bank will give you the services you need with the reliability you can depend on throughout branches in Las Vegas, Henderson, Reno, Pahrump, and now in Phoenix, Arizona. Call our friendly, knowledgeable staff today at 702-471-BANK. That is 702-471-2265. Or use our convenient online banking service at meadowsbank.bank. Meadows Bank, where your business is our business.
Pizza, pizza, pizza. If you're like me, pizza is not just a food, it's a way of life. And the folks at Settabello Pizza get every detail just right. Homemade dough made daily and hand-tossed. Extra virgin olive oil, freshly chopped tomatoes and basil, and generous portions of mozzarella cheese with a dizzying array of toppings. Join me at one of their two area locations, one at Green Valley Parkway, another one at Fort Apache and Sahara. No time to dine out? No problem. Order today and take it to go at Settabello.net. That's Settabello.net. Settabello Pizza, when only the best will do.
Terribles is celebrating 65 years in Southern Nevada with 65K and 65 days! Make a qualifying purchase in-store or fuel up at the pump, scan your Terribles app, and spin for your chance to win free products. Or be lucky enough to land on $1,000! Every day for 65 days! So, download the free Terrible Social House app and play today. Spin more, win more. Terribles, deliberately different since 1959.
Well, welcome back to Las Vegas. I'm Harvey Hyde. You're listening to our Coors Sports Topic Show. Buckle up, because now we're going to talk softball with the UNLV assistant coach, associate head coach from UNLV softball program. Andy Jarvis will be joining us. But before we get to the coach, let's thank our sponsor for this weekly segment, and that's our friends at Aces Bar and Grill. two locations in Las Vegas, the first at 7272 El Capitan Way, and the second at 35 Gibson Road, that's Gibson and the 215. Appetizers, salads, wraps, breakfast, great food, great prices, happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. That's Aces Bar and Grill. Now joining us, the associate head coach, assistant coach, all the things that's necessary to help winning, is Andy Jarvis. Coach, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you with us, Coach, because you just came off a winning series at San Jose State, and now you're sort of wrapping it up, but let's talk about this last week, a big series for you in San Jose.
Yeah, you know, we took care of business in San Jose to kind of give us a chance to make this the series against San Diego State, you know, a little more meaningful. So we got a, you know, kind of a tall hill to climb, but, you know, our chance, we still have a chance to win the Mountain West. And so I guess, you know, going into the last weekend, that's, you know, kind of what you shoot for. And so the opportunity is still there to, you know, meet the goals that we had at the start of the season. And I mean, we got to win all three games, but, you know, stranger things have happened, and, you know, we just got to play well, and hopefully, you know, things will turn out on the right side for us.
Well, Coach, you're 29-16, 12-7 in the Mountain West Conference, and, Coach, what a race this Mountain West Conference is. San Diego State 1, I mean, Nevada 2, Fresno State, you're right there, 12-7. There's not much that separates anyone in the standings with the Mountain West Conference.
No, you know, it's funny because the Mountain West has always been real tough in softball. We don't get quite the street cred that some other mid-major conferences get throughout the country, which I've never really quite understood. But, yeah, you know, San Diego State's a good ball club. Nevada's a good ball club. Fresno's good. We're playing well this year. And then, in reality, even, you know, Boise and Colorado State, who are, I guess, right now fifth and sixth, they're both really quality teams, too. So, you know, our conference tournament's going to be a battle. But yeah, you know, we just, everyone's kind of like, I won't say we're all kind of equal, but, you know, there's like a level of play that we're all kind of at, and it's just sort of who, you know, I think if you look, there hasn't been, you know, at the top of our conference, there hasn't been a ton of sweeps, things like that. So everyone's kind of beat up on everyone a little bit and, you know, taking a game here or, you know, two games there and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, we're all kind of bunched up, but, you know, obviously then when you get to the conference tournament, everybody's kind of beat everybody too. So, you know, everybody has confidence that they can do it again. So it's going to be kind of a, you know, fun and, but, you know, interesting and exciting ride here the last couple of weeks.
Well, Coach, every game will mean so much. And last week, you had a great performance out of one of your players, Mountain West Conference Player of the Week. She averaged, what, 600 against San Jose State in hitting?
Yeah, you know, Alyssa's done, really great for us this year. She is a, you know, fifth-year senior. She's had some injuries, and she plays through a lot of stuff that you know, the average person probably wouldn't. And so what she's done for us this year and sort of, you know, just being super tough and, she's definitely given us everything that she can give us this year. And so I was just really, really happy for her and really proud of her to, you know, be able to get recognized with a Player of the Week honor. You know, it's funny, she got a couple big hits, you know, some doubles and stuff, but, you know, two of her hits were actually they were, you know, sacrifice bunts that she ended up beating out at first. And, you know, I mean, she'll be the first one to tell you that's not necessarily her game. But just, you know, the things like that in terms of doing what the team needs in the moment. And, you know, she's, you know, kind of a power hitter and getting those bunts down and then, you know, running hard and beating them out and doing that for the team, you know, all while being a little compromised. Just, you know, it says a lot about her and who she is and, you know, all about her character.
Coach Andy Jarvis joins us in the UNLV softball team. Coach, a big series at home against San Diego State. A little different as far as starting. You start on Thursday instead of Friday, and that's because, I believe, of the tournament starting on Thursday. Let's talk about this series and how you already mentioned how important it is. But, Coach, to sort of send off the seniors, there's 10 seniors. It's great to have everybody out there and celebrate this great – I think it's been a great season as far as what you've gone through, fighting the rain, fighting the cold, injuries. but you still won 29 games. And, Coach, you can still win 30, 31, 32.
Yeah, you know, this is a big weekend for us. I mean, obviously, you mentioned, you know, being senior weekend. That's always a special time. And, you know, a lot of those kids, you know, like Maddie Schmidt, she's a fifth-year senior. You know, Alyssa Trejo is fifth year. You know, the kids, these are, you know, the last of the COVID, you know, kids. You know, these were the kids who came in, right, you know, right when all that nonsense started and, you know, had to, you know, lose a season and all that kind of stuff. And so they've been through it. And so it's kind of, you know, it's special to see them, you know, get to the end. And, you know, they've had a lot of success in our program, won a lot of games. As far as San Diego State's concerned, they're just, you know, they're always a quality team. That's no different this year. You know, they're well coached. They have good players. And, you know, since we've been here at UNLV, we've always played well against them, and we've had good battles. Even, you know, obviously the games when we won or they win. I mean, we've played several 15-inning games, 13-inning games, you know, 12-inning games. I mean, we're always playing extra innings and, you know, going down to the wire. And so it's a good, you know, it's obviously we have Reno, but we've always kind of felt like San Diego State was a little bit of a, you know, a rivalry game for us. And, you know, they're just fun to play against, you know, just like anything. You know, you always, you know, the old saying, kind of the iron sharpens iron, you know, so it's always, you know, nice to match up against them and go to battle. And it's kind of nice that this weekend, I mean, now, like I said, we have to win all three games to win the championship, but at least that opportunity is still there. And, you know, we're motivated and, you know, hopefully we can get it done.
Coach, you're at home. You got three games. You can win three games to win the championship. And obviously, listening to you on the show tonight, you guys are playing for it all. You're not happy with second or third or fourth, yet you have qualified for the tournament, but you want to win it all.
Well, you know, the way the tournament is set up is that if you're first or second, that you get a first-round bye, right? So now you only have to win two games then to go to a regional. And now if you finish third through sixth, you got to win an extra game, which, whatever, doesn't make it impossible, but you know, just like any sport, it's easier to win two in a row than three in a row, right? So we're really kind of, you know, we're shooting to possibly, you know, finish first or second. Obviously first is, you know, the best. You want to be able to say you are the regular season champions, but if we could somehow finish in those top two and get that first round bye, that would be great for us. You know, if not, then we'll, you know, still go. Like I said, we've, you know, if we were to manage, you know, if we were to beat San Diego State this weekend, you know, we would have beaten every team in the league at least once. And so, you know, if you can do it once, you can do it again. And so we would go to the tournament in Boise and, you know, feel confident that we could, you know, that we could do what we need to do and, you know, win that tournament.
Coach, the reason you're playing on Thursday, I sort of guessed at the first part of the show, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Thursday at 6 p.m., Friday at 3 p.m. and Saturday at 12 noon.
Yeah, we do that just like you mentioned it. It's because the conference tournament starts Thursday, so it's kind of a day earlier than normal. And then, you know, you travel on Tuesday and you go practice on Wednesday. And, you know, there's a little bit of hoopla and all that kind of stuff with going to the conference tournament. So they just give you an extra day. You know, we move this weekend up a day just to kind of give everybody, you know, Sunday off to kind of get to your bearings and then get prepared to travel to the conference tournament. They do that quite a bit, you know, even, you know, teams that don't have conference tournaments, we used to play our final, when we didn't have one, we would play our final weekend, then selection Sunday is on Sunday and you have it off, and that way that everybody can get all their stuff in and, you know, you can watch it or all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty common. But yeah, it's just to give you that extra day to kind of get your ducks in a row and get ready to go to the conference tournament.
Well, Coach, we want to encourage everybody out there listening to get out to Eller Media Stadium on Thursday, 6 p.m., a perfect time of day. The weather's awesome. Friday at 3 p.m. and Saturday at 12 noon, not only for the game, but also for senior day. Anything else you'd like to pass on, Coach?
You know, I just want to reiterate that this is, you know, it is a big weekend. You know, like I said, we have, you know, some special things that we could possibly accomplish. So, you know, if you look in the paper or wherever you get your news on Saturday morning and we've won the first two games, you know, come out on Saturday and, you know, you'd be watching, you know, two teams play for the Mountain West Championship. So I hope that's the way it goes. You know, we'll have to bring our A game and, you know, play really well to accomplish that. But we'll just hope we can make that happen.
Well, Coach, we all do. We hope it happens. And, of course, we want to encourage everybody to get out there. If you've been out there, you can see that the kids have a lot of fun. It's exciting, and we want you to get out there and support the UNLV softball team. Whenever you can play for a championship, that's what you play for. Coach Andy Jarvis, again, good luck to you and the team. Hope everyone gets out there and supports you. We'll look forward to highlighting your softball program next week.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. That's Coach Andy Jarvis, assistant coach for the UNLV softball program. This weekly segment is brought to us by Ace's Bar and Grill, two locations in Las Vegas, the first at 7272 El Capitan Way and the second at 35 Gibson Road. That's Gibson and the 215. Appetizers, salads, wraps, breakfast, great food, great prices from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. happy hour. And again, get out there and enjoy it. Again, I also want to mention for you that are in town or you need to rent a car or truck or coming into Las Vegas, remember locally, budget car and truck rental, give them a call at 702-736-1212. I'm Harvey Hyde. You're listening to our Core Sports Topic Show. When we come back, let's go out to the Las Vegas ballpark where the Las Vegas Aviators are back in town. Jimmy Gemma will be joining us, Director of Media Relations, right from the park. Buckle up. We'll be right back from Las Vegas.
Are you looking to advertise a campaign, short film, a public service announcement, an important message? Look no further than Regency Outdoor. We have been around since 1974 and have the greatest locations in Southern California for your advertising goals. Our creative billboards are sure to catch everyone's attention. Make an impact anywhere and everywhere in Southern California. To get started and for more information, call 310-657-8883 or visit RegencyOutdoor.com. Regency makes it easier than ever to get your message everywhere in Southern California.
Big Dogs Brewing Company is proud to be Las Vegas' original hometown brewery since 1993. Our handcrafted beers are brewed fresh daily by our team of award-winning brewers. Big Dogs brews are now available in cans at major retailers like Discount Liquor, Total Wine & More, Whole Foods Market, Smith's, Albertsons, Terrible Stations, and more. Big Dogs beers are available on draft at select restaurants and bars around Las Vegas. Ask for us by name. Visit us at BigDogsBrews.com to track down our award-winning handcrafted brews. Or stop by Big Dogs Draft House in Rancho and Craig to sample a full range of our classic, seasonal, and specialty ales. Drink fresh. Drink local. Drink Big Dogs.
The USC community exemplifies the notion of hard work and a winning attitude will make you a champion in anything you do. At Fletcher Jones Imports and Mercedes-Benz of Henderson, we also work hard to ensure our clients have a world-class experience. And speaking of champions, my dad came to Las Vegas in 1966 and built our first Nevada dealership. We are now four generations and proud to provide Las Vegas with a great selection and financing options to accommodate every budget. Plus, we're nice people, too. We might be hardcore USC fans, but our family's firmly planted in the Las Vegas Valley and will be for many years to come. Visit us at FletcherJones.com for details or stop by and meet the team. Until then, fight on.
Fletcher Jones Imports, 7300 West Sahara Avenue, Mercedes-Benz of Henderson, 925 Auto Show Drive, and Fletcher Jones Imports Used Car and Truck Center, 7100 West Sahara Avenue. Experience the Fletcher Jones difference.
Terribles is celebrating 65 years in Southern Nevada with 65K in 65 days! Make a qualifying purchase in-store or fuel up at the pump, scan your Terribles app, and spin for your chance to win free products. Or be lucky enough to land on $1,000! Every day for 65 days! So, download the free Terribles Social House app and play today. Spin more, win more. Terribles, deliberately different since 1959.
Well, welcome back to Las Vegas. I'm Harvey Hyde. You're listening to our Coors Sports Topic Show. We're on the way out to the Las Vegas ballpark. We're pulling in, and hey, free parking. Quite a deal here at the Las Vegas ballpark. Jimmy Gemma joins us with our weekly Las Vegas Aviator Report. Jimmy, the Aviators are back home. They're on a roll, and they got a great series against the Reno Aces.
Harvey, thanks for having me on, and also mentioning the free complimentary parking here at the Las Vegas ballpark as the Aviators have a seven-game homestand tonight against the Reno Aces. Seven games rather than the six, because we're making up one of the games from the rainout on March 30th. So we'll have a doubleheader on Wednesday, May 1st at 5 o'clock. The rest of the games will start at 7 o'clock, except the finale of the homestand this Sunday on Cinco de Mayo at noon.
Well, I tell you what, the Pacific Coast League, the West Division here, it couldn't get any tighter and any better. Las Vegas, the Aviators are in third place. Reno's in fourth place. I mean, the winner of this series, and if Las Vegas continues to play like they will, can move up possibly. I'm not saying they'll be in second place, but they can really get into a good position.
Yeah, well, the team's won 10 out of 15, had a good road trip in the Bay Area against Sacramento, split six games. Now, with it being the second year of a we're basically playing two halves, so 150 games total, 75 in the first half. So we basically have one 10-team division for sake for the whoever wins the first half. But you are right in the West. Las Vegas can move up in the second place. But Sugar Land leads all of the 10 teams. So, if, for example, if the season, the first half ended today, Sugar Land would be the first half winner with a 19-8 record. Sacramento is a 17-10 record. Tacoma 17-10. But obviously, there's a lot of games left in the first half, which ends at the 75th game. But right now, Las Vegas is 12-14, and we'll have right into the promotions. We'll have another bark on the berm tomorrow night for the doubleheader, 2 7-inning games. Thursday, we'll have $2 beers, and which is a staple now. And Friday, we'll have Aviators Cap Night to the first 2,500 fans through the gates. That's Friday, May 3rd. And then another installment of Star Wars Night on Saturday, May 4th at 7:05. And then, like we said, the homestand and the series will conclude on Sunday, May 5th at noon.
Jim Jammer joins us from Las Vegas Ballpark, Director of Media Relations for the Las Vegas Aviators. You know, Jim, not only are you bringing a great promotional night for opportunity for everybody, I mean, all the different things you just mentioned, but it's great baseball. And I don't know how many people follow the Dodgers or follow the sports page or so on, but a rookie that's with the Dodgers that's out of Oklahoma City is going crazy down in L.A. He's been hitting .298. At 47 at bats and hitting home runs, he's got all of L.A. talking about him.
Yeah, obviously, Triple A is the highest level of professional baseball, right under the major leagues. But between the chalk lines, the PCL has always been a great caliber of play. And like you said, one night a guy's in Triple A, the next night you're watching him on ESPN hit a home run or get a key hit. So it's always a good thing, even with the Oakland Athletics, with the Aviators, but even, like you said, with the other teams that the Aviators play. J.D. Davis from the A's will be here in the next few days on ML rehab. Of course, he played with the San Francisco Giants last year. He signed as a free agent just prior to the beginning of the season. So like you said, you never know when you're going to see major leaguers on rehab, and the Aviators have one here for the next few days in J.D. Davis.
And again, also, one thing the Las Vegas community has done, they've come out and supported the Las Vegas Aviators. Are you still leading the conference in attendance?
Well, we'll be leading the league after tonight. We trail Albuquerque by 1,000 fans, but Las Vegas has 90,309 through 14 dates. So we will surpass them tonight, and we will be leading the league again in attendance. Obviously, we're here all week through Sunday, so we'll be hitting the first 100,000 mark of the season, so hopefully we can keep going on that to hopefully we can hit the 500,000 mark for the third straight year. That would be great.
Well, there's no excuses. This is what we wait for. This is baseball weather to get out to the ballpark and enjoy baseball and enjoy the promotions with your family, friends, company. Doesn't make any difference. And ticketing is also important as far as ticketing opportunities for all of the things I'm mentioning.
Yeah, best thing to do is go to aviatorslv.com. We encourage all fans to download the Las Vegas Ballpark app to their phones. And that ties in with Ticketmaster. If you want to purchase tickets online, just go to aviatorslv.com, click on individual tickets. If you're in downtown Summerlin and want to hit the box office, that would be great also. The box office, you can purchase tickets before the game or during the week or what have you. But we do encourage everyone to go to the box office if they want, or go to aviatorslv.com. Like we said, we're home all week. And with that being said, we just encourage everybody to come out and check out Aviators Baseball.
And I tell you, it's a great baseball, a lot of fun in a beautiful park. And as I mentioned last week, Jimmy, and I hate to repeat myself, but I have to on this. I would say in minor league baseball, the Las Vegas ballpark, and a lot of people know this, it's number one.
Well, yeah, we have, we're fortunate enough to have the nicest venue in all of AAA, that being the Las Vegas ballpark for sure, out of all the 120 teams in minor league baseball. Especially in AAA, there's a lot of great venues, but this one is by far the best. I do need to digress real quick. If people do want to go to the box office on game days, it's open beginning at 10 a.m., obviously Monday through Friday. Saturdays open from noon to game time, but with our ballpark, really the lower bowl is a major league stadium, and we are definitely have the nicest venue in all of the minor leagues.
Now, I want to mention this to all of our loyal fans, especially the ones that are listening. July 4th and the fireworks and all of that, you always have some type of event that's always a sellout, whether it's on July the 4th or the day before or day after. Let's give everybody an opportunity now to think about that. I know it's a long ways away, but we want to give them a point as far as being able to get the tickets.
Yeah, basically, like we mentioned, aviatorslv.com is really the best way to purchase tickets. You just click on the individual ticket link on the top left. It's a drop-down menu. But, yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, July 2nd and 3rd are the big firework nights. Of course, the traditional fireworks extravaganza will be Wednesday, July 3rd against the Oklahoma City Baseball Club, which is the Dodgers, and that's a 6 p.m. start. Tuesday, July 2nd will be a 7:05 against the OKC Baseball Club, AAA affiliate of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, Tuesday, Wednesday, July 2nd and 3rd. Those are our two big firework nights, especially July 3rd. So we do encourage everyone to purchase their tickets in advance. You look at the calendar tomorrow, it's May 1st.
Well, Jimmy, again, I want to thank you for joining us. It's time for you to go to work, not that you aren't there at 7 o'clock in the morning. No matter what time I call you or text you, you're up. So it's time for you to step to the plate. And again, we want to thank you very much for joining us with our weekly segment with the Las Vegas Aviators and Jim Janaba. Jim, good luck, buddy.
Harvey, thanks for having me on. As the team is home through Sunday, and then next week when I talk to you, we'll start our road trip in Texas.
All right, buddy. Again, good luck. Get out to the ballpark. Enjoy great baseball at the Las Vegas ballpark and watch your local Las Vegas Aviators. Again, I'm Harvey Hyde. You're listening to our Coors Sports Topic Show. I want to ask you to stay with us and stay buckled up. When we come back, Chuck Hayes will join me, and we'll talk about a little football. What about Reggie Bush's situation as far as getting the Heisman back? How do you feel about that? Well, Chuck and I will talk about that with you in a moment. Buckle up. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Coach Harvey Hyde. Follow me on the Twitter all the time. That's at Coach Harvey Hyde. At Coach Harvey Hyde. I'll be waiting to get back to you.
Have you ever been to the Klondike Casino? Well, you better try it. It's the sports headquarters there in Henderson. It's located at 444 Sunset Road in Henderson. You can watch all the Rebel football games, Rebel basketball games, all the events. That'll be Rebel athletics, but also your favorite team when they play. How about the Klondike Grill? Man, bring your friends there. Fresh food, served up quickly so you don't miss a play. That's the Klondike Casino, located at 444 West Sunset Road in Henderson, Nevada. And don't forget, the Players Club will take care of you too. Game day is every day at the Klondike Casino.
Monterey Lighting Solutions. Call Big Ed and Fast Eddie for a free, that's right, free evaluation of your building to see if you are really winning with your power saving. Have Monterey Solution in your huddle. You'll be saving money. That's making money. Call 626-298-5444 or 702-376-8685. Remember those two plays, 626-298-5444 or 702-376-8685.
Pizza, pizza, pizza. If you're like me, pizza is not just a food, it's a way of life. And the folks at Settabello Pizza get every detail just right. Homemade dough made daily and hand-tossed. extra virgin olive oil, freshly chopped tomatoes and basil, and generous portions of mozzarella cheese with a dizzying array of toppings. Join me at one of their two area locations, one at Green Valley Parkway, another one at Fort Apache and Sahara. No time to dine out? No problem. Order today and take it to go at setabello.net. That's setabello.net. Setabello Pizza, when only the best will do.
You work hard for your business. You need a bank that understands your business. Let Metals Bank be your business partner for all your banking needs. We are a full-service community bank with competitive loan and deposit products and services. We're also a preferred lender for SBA, 7A, and 504 loan programs. The experienced team at Metals Bank will give you the services you need with the reliability you can depend on throughout branches in Las Vegas, Henderson, Reno, Pahrump, and now in Phoenix, Arizona. Call our friendly, knowledgeable staff today at 702-471-BANK. That is 702-471-2265. Or use our convenient online banking service at metalsbank.bank. Metals Bank, where your business is our business.
Terribles is celebrating 65 years in Southern Nevada with 65K in 65 days! Make a qualifying purchase in-store or fuel up at the pump, scan your Terribles app, and spin for your chance to win free products. Or be lucky enough to land on
$1,000!
Every day for 65 days! So, download the free Terrible Social House app and play today. Spin more, win more. Terribles, deliberately different since 1959.
Welcome back to Las Vegas. I'm Harvey Hyde. You're listening to our Coors Sports Topic Show. And as we always say on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, buckle up and ride along with us. And we want to remind you that on Thursday night, it's our college football report show from 6 to 7 p.m. Before we get with Chuck, let's thank our sponsor for this segment, which is the Vaults, a safety deposit company here in Las Vegas. They've been in business since 1998, so obviously they know what they're doing. You know, sometimes you want to get into your safety deposit box, you say, oh, I forgot to go. Well, you don't have to worry about that. You can go in, take it out the same day or same night. Yes, they'll open 24 hours a day. They're located at 955 Del Webb Boulevard here in Las Vegas. You can call for information by calling 702-967-5750. That's 702-967-5750 for the Vaults, a safety deposit box company here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Chuck Hayes joins us back. Chuck, it's great to have you back. Before I have you on, I want to give everybody the word out there. Normally, this is the UNLV baseball segment, but Stan Salty and the UNLV Rebel baseball program is playing in Riverside. They have just completed the game. The Rebels won 13-7, so they're getting on the bus and returning home. So I just wanted to pass that on to everybody so that they knew that Rebels did win on the road. This week they're off to San Jose State, so they'll be on the road. So I wanted to get that out and congratulate the Rebel fans and the Rebel baseball program for that big win on the road. But Chuck, welcome back, and I want to talk about something that you've been hearing a lot about, we've been talking about for a long time, and we've been thinking it was unfair to take Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy away, and there are going to return it. As everybody knows, this past week, the NCAA announced, along with the New York Athletic Club, that Reggie Bush would be getting back his trophy. They had a picture of it, the whole package. Your thoughts on that? Because we've got big feelings on that. Plus, we know the person, and I had lunch with him today, who got this whole thing going.
Well, Coach, first of all, the NCAA is still in litigation with Reggie Bush for defamation. So the NCAA really has not got on board completely. The Heisman Trust decided they were going to do an actualization of this, and they did it down in Florida at a Heisman winner's breakfast. And Reggie was the surprise guest, and then they had the trophy there for him. He was there with all the participants that had won. It looked like a pretty happy gathering. And then the media activities began after that. He then came back to Southern California and in Memorial Coliseum, put it up on the roof where he had had his press conference saying that he was going to sue the NCAA because of them not allowing to have it back. And now there's some things that go with this. USC and how they handle this. Of course, now they're crowing about 8 Heisman Trophy winners, and the fact that they had the number one pick of the draft in Caleb Williams, who won the Heisman 2 years ago. Maybe Caleb will get his act together and go to the Heisman ceremony now that Reggie's back, and Leinart and Palmer and Mike Garrett's normally there. Unfortunately, Charles White has passed away. O.J. Simpson has passed away. Marcus Allen is infrequent. You don't see him there quite often. So this is a whole other generation of this. And whether or not the NCAA settles with him or goes to court will be a very interesting tale. Coach, just in the news cycle alone right now, the Big Ten and the SEC published reports are saying they're looking for revenue sharing in regards to college football players and maybe all athletes. But Title IX is in jeopardy right now because of some rulings out of D.C.
Well, Chuck, there's a lot of changes. That's why we talk football year-round. Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman Trophy back. A bit of a surprise, but not a surprise. About 6 months ago, a gentleman in Southern California who owns Regency Billboards put on 18 billboards in Southern California, give Reggie his Heisman back. Now, that was all over Southern California, USC, the administrators, everybody saw that signage. It was sent throughout the country. It was talked about on most of the sports topic shows nationally. I had lunch with him today. His name is Brian Kennedy, and he's been interviewed by everybody on why he did it and so on. He just feel it wasn't right as far as them taking this away when that award was won on the field. Another friend I had lunch with today was in Chicago, and he said when he was in Chicago, that's all they were talking about there is how this Heisman Trophy should not have ever been taken away from Reggie Bush. And I look at this, I'm very happy he gets it back, but what about all his teammates? I think that all those wins should be given back, all the championships should be given back, because they, well, it was almost the stiffest penalty ever, except for SMU's death penalty, that USC was given as far as losing all those scholarships. I think 16 scholarships. Paul Dees was the committee chairman of that from the University of Miami, and they just went to it. They just darn near gave them the death penalty. It's been 14 years now since USC really has brought their program back to the heights of what it was. Now there's 6th head football coach going through this turmoil period. It seems like it's only right to get back the wins and losses since they're correcting and giving Reggie his trophy back, while the other 100 or 200 players that were part of those teams that forfeited games that had nothing to do with it shouldn't wear their rings with pride.
You know, it's interesting when you think about Reggie Bush on the field and what he could do from a punt return, kick return, halfback, run the ball, catch the ball. He's the most complete back that I saw in elusiveness and speed and be able to have a burst and change direction. I didn't see Gale Sayers play live. I saw Billy Sims on television. And I think they're probably that kind of player. Charles White and Mike Garrett are different kind of runner. OJ was a lot more physical. Marcus Allen wasn't as fast. Great hands, could block, was tough. But Reggie had a real unique skill set. And Norm Chow, when he was there, really utilized him to be part of that offense that was basically unstoppable. And they put up a lot of numbers. Now, Coach, the one regret I'm sure USC and Pete Carroll has, and Pete Carroll's had a few regrets in regards to play calls, was that on that 4th-and-2 play against Texas when we were in the Rose Bowl for the national championship, they took Reggie off the field for that. And I still cannot understand today how you take the best player of college football during that era off the field on an offensive play. It just makes no sense to me at all. I'm not saying he had to carry the ball, but if you're a defense and you see that Reggie Bush isn't in the game and you've done your homework and you've done your scouting and you know what their offense is, you have an idea where the football is going to go. And I just never, ever, I'll still never get over that. And that's on Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian. They were young during that time before they became head coaches at Tennessee and Texas and all that stuff. Ole Miss now for Lane after a stint at USC. But I still don't understand that. And Pete Carroll let that happen.
I was at lunch today with a bunch of legends, USC players and coaches today, Chuck, in Southern California. And it's amazing you bring that play up because they're still talking about it. They're still talking about it. In fact, one of them, a big booster, told Pete Carroll after the game, you got out coached in this game, coach. Actually, it was the third down play that made the biggest difference when they had third and two and they ran play action pass through the ball, Matt Liner threw the ball to Brandon Hancock in the flat, tried to fool people. And it was incomplete, a low pass, stopped the clock. Stopped the clock. The clock didn't keep running. Then they took Reggie Bush out of the game, and it was Lindell White. And the safety from Texas now says he knew who was going to get the football. And that was Lindell White. It was fourth and two. And what happened, they ran the ball to Lindell White, and he missed it by about 3 inches. And then, of course, they drove down the field and won the football game, as everybody knows. But if they would have just kept Reggie on the field, they would have had to cover him, as you mentioned earlier. But the Thomas said the safety came right on the line of scrimmage and plugged the hole because he knew there was only one other person that was going to get that football, and that was Lindell White. They could have run Lindell White two plays in a row without throwing that incomplete pass, and they'd have won the game. All they needed to do was get a first down, and they had won the game. So I don't think that game will ever go away, Chuck. I don't know how much you talk about it or whatever or anybody talks about. In the Trojan history, as far as with Trojan football, that is still, with all the championships they've won, I would say that's still the game they talk about the most.
Coach, just that day in the Rose Bowl, and you've been in the Rose Bowl a ton of times, I don't think I ever saw a crowd stand for as many plays in a row as those fans did, and the noise and the sound. But the thing that I glean when I think back of that, I think of how that extra long halftime for Bowl was on, and at about 6 minutes after the Longhorns had gone in the tunnel, Vince Young comes out and goes to the back of the end zone, the north end zone, where the Texas Longhorn band was playing. And he started doing yoga exercises in front of the band for the remainder of that halftime until his teammates came out. And I always thought that was one of the more interesting things. Probably a lot of people didn't notice it or remember it. But I think he was in such a zone that night, and he wanted to not be distracted, and he didn't want to feel cooped up. And what better place to go through your exercises than in the Rose Bowl in front of your band, where you can just enjoy that night air in Pasadena? I just think that he had the power and the mojo that night. And despite the fact that SC choked it up, Kiffin and Sarkisian and Pete Carroll, it was still one of the greatest performances ever. And in fact, your great friend Lake Keith Jackson, that was his last college football game doing play-by-play, and his last call was that Vince Young last touchdown call was the Vince Young touchdown on fourth down.
You're exactly right. Keith Jackson told me there wouldn't be a better moment or a better game to call the greatest football game. He said he called. Keith Jackson retired after that game. Well, Chuck, again, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight. You've been part of the show almost the entire day. Of course, we featured UNLV softball and the Las Vegas Aviators. Get out to the Aviators and watch them play tonight at the Las Vegas ballpark. I want to thank Justin in the studio for all of his hard work. And, of course, our sponsor for this segment, the Ralphs, the safety deposit box company in Las Vegas. They've been in business since 1998, so they know what they do or how to do it and how to protect your valuables. You can get in and get out of the box 24 hours a day. Where are they located? 9555 Delaware Boulevard in Las Vegas, Nevada. So, you know, why don't you go out and check it out? You always want to get something. You say, oh, I can't. They're closed. Well, you don't have to say that when you go to the vaults.
Give them a call at 702-967-5750. That's 967-5750. So from Las Vegas, you've been listening to our Coors Sports Topic Show. I'm Harvey Hyde. Buckle up, and as I always say, remember, it's every day. We hope your team wins. Good night, everyone.